stuff I got up here this morning. All right. Good morning. Hope everybody had a good weekend so far. The Lord didn't come back yet. That's a little disappointing. I'm going to move this stuff right here. I need that out of the way. I got a thing on my heart today, I guess, and I've been studying this for a while, for years, in fact. And I do these things from time to time, and people say, you know, we're a King James church. Why do we need to know anything about the other Bibles? Well, we got family. We've got friends. We've got people we know, people we work with, that don't know anything about these other Bibles. They got all kinds of other versions they carry around, and they think they got a Bible. And the best thing you can do for your friend is give them some truth. So if we learn a little bit about some of these new versions, we can kind of combat some of the things going on with our family and our friends. So today, Lord willing, if everything works out like it should this morning, I want to go over some of the problems with the New King James Version. And I call it a version because I don't call it a Bible. Now, the premise is this for me, and it really should be for anybody. If you have a perfect Bible, I told my wife this yesterday, I've got more respect for somebody that says, well, I believe the NIV is the only perfect Bible, than I do for somebody that's got 15 laying out on the table and they pick and choose whatever they like from each version. And that's what most people do. Well, I like John 3:16 from the King James, you know, because it keeps only begotten. But then, you know, maybe Romans 5:8 is a little better in the NIV. And well, the New King James has, you know, Zechariah 13 better. And you are now your own authority, okay? You have no final authority. Now, we say as Baptists, we believe that the Bible is our final authority for all matters of faith and practice. That's what we say. The Bible. Now, do you know that's a definitive statement? You ever think about that? The Bible is a definitive statement. A Bible is a non-definitive statement. Okay? A Bible could be about near anything. But if you got one, now let's say, for example, we do have a perfect Bible. I got one right here. This one's absolutely perfect. Zero errors in it. None. Not one. Now, what happens if I change one word? Is it still perfect? No, it can't be. If it's perfect now and I change it, then it can't possibly be perfect again unless I put it back the way it was. So with that thought in mind, I want to look at the things that they've changed in the New King James or removed or added to, because it's the same thing, right? If I remove a word, that's a change. If I add a word, that's a change. If I completely take sentences out, that's a big change. And a lot of them do that. All these new versions are so perverted. I get in here and I beat up on the NIV all the time. That's easy. You know, I mean, that's just too easy. And I'll tell you what happened with that NIV. The devil found out he went too far. He found out he messed up, and everybody started noticing what he did. Everybody started finding out, well, there's a lesbian on the translating committee. There was a sodomite on the Old Testament committee. They took out hell, and they took out everything. They messed it all up. So what happened? He said, well, I better back up. So he made a new King James. Because it still says King James. See? Do you know how many grandparents have bought their grandchild a New King James by accident? Because they don't put it all in. They make that in KJV. They make that in a little bit subliminal. You can't hardly see it sometimes. It looks like KJV. And people just pick it up and buy it. And then they tell you that the New King James is just a King James Bible with the V's and the vowels taken out. That's what they say. But that's an outright lie. That is an outright blatant lie. So what you got, let's start right here at the beginning of this. The New King James leaves out the word Lord 66 times. 66 times. why would you, if you believe, and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, why would you leave the Lord out? Why would anybody want to leave the Lord out of the Bible? It leaves God out 51 times. It leaves out heaven 50 times. Leaves repent out 44 times. The blood is gone 23 times. And hell is gone 22 times. Do you know hell is talked about more than heaven in the New Testament? Think about that. There's a reason for that. There's a big reason for that. Because nobody's supposed to go there. It's not made for us. Hell was made for the devil and his angels, according to the Bible. And God doesn't want anybody in there, see? He's not willing that any should perish, right? That's what the Bible says. So, we got to stop taking these things out. Now, listen what it leaves out completely. It completely leaves out the word Jehovah. Completely gone. Doesn't exist in the New King James. Damnation was in there 11 times. Jehovah was in the Bible 3 times, by the way, in the King James. Takes out damnation. It was in 11 times in the King James. Takes out devils, which was 48 times. That's amazing, isn't it? Take out devils. Who wouldn't want you to know there were devils? I mean, it's a simple question. Who is it that wouldn't want? Do you think God don't want you to know about the devils? I'm sure he does. He put it in his Bible. So the phrase New Testament is also completely gone. That's used 6 times in the King James. So you got all these things that are removed. How can that be a perfect Bible? I mean, I wish I'd have added these up. 250 things taken completely out. 250 words completely taken out. And I never added that up. I wish I had. According to Gail Ripplinger, who I consider one of the main authorities on this subject, she has studied this better than probably near anybody. Between her and Sam Gipp, the two of them are like the top dogs in this field. And according to Gail Ripplinger, the New King James ignored the Textus Receptus over 1,200 times. That's the received text. That's the text that they used to translate the Bible. They ignored it 1,200 times. It didn't matter what it said. They put their own words in there because they had an agenda. See, that's the problem. We watch, if you turn on the TV news, you're going to find an agenda on every channel. Doesn't matter what it is. It can be CNN or Fox or Newsmax or any. You got an agenda. Now, some are good agendas. It doesn't mean it's all bad. But some are not. Now, their agenda is not good. Their agenda is to get rid of the Word of God. It's to hide the Word of God from you. If you can't have all of what God said, you can't know what God wants you to do. Now, I've said this before, and I had some comments made that people thought that I said you could not be saved unless you had a King James Bible. I do not believe that. I have never said that. Anybody can be saved with any version of the Bible. It doesn't matter how you got saved. Doesn't matter what version somebody preached when you got saved. Doesn't matter none of that. We got tracts in the back here in the foyer, and those were handed out, and I believe people get saved by reading tracts sometimes. But that's not a Bible either. Okay? So make it clear. Let's be understood. I don't believe you have to have a King James Bible to be saved. Now, let me tell you what I do believe. I do believe you cannot grow. I believe it's impossible for you to grow the way God wants you to grow without a King James Bible. Because you don't have everything God wants you to know. Now, it's like your diet, okay? And I'm trying to do mine better because somehow or another the cleaners have shrunk all my clothes. And I'm having to lose weight to fit them now. But If you have a diet of McDonald's, you can survive, but you're not going to thrive. See? Or Burger King. I used to like, remember Burger King, have it your way? That's what these new versions are. It's Burger King Bibles. Have it your way. Pick and choose what you like. Now, if we get time, I've got these comical Bibles up here that I was going to read a little bit out of in a little while. If we get time, Everybody likes to hear some of the stuff out of those, and they are funny. But this is a serious subject. It's a very serious subject. This is life and death. This is everything. Everything. Now look at Zechariah 13. The publisher of the New King James says that the New King James has never been changed. It's never been revised. It's never been updated. It's the very same from 1982 when it came out to right now. That's a lie. It is not the same. And I got Zechariah even in this New King James somewhere. There it is. Now, in your Bible, in the real Bible, here, let me turn to it over here, mine too. I'll just go ahead and read it too. I can get to it fairly quick, I think. The problem with doing this is there's so many different things you got to turn to, and I got most of them marked, but I can't mark everything, otherwise I'd have every piece of paper in my house in my Bible. So I'm trying to mark as much as I can without worrying too much about all the rest. So in Zechariah 13:6, in the perfect Bible, it says this, "And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he will answer, Those which with I was wounded in the house of my friends." Now, anybody got an idea who that reference is? Jesus Christ, right? So here's the thing. When you change words or you change sentences, you lose the references. You can't find. Listen to here. "And one will say unto him," this is the New King James, "And one will say unto him, What are these wounds between your arms?" Is that different? Now, where did the reference to Jesus Christ go right there? It's gone. Doesn't exist. See? So, when you start changing things, you start messing up what the Bible's doing. You got word references in this King James Bible that you can run from beginning to end. But when you get a new King James or an NIV or anything else, the references are gone. So you can't study anymore. There's no study in your Bible like you should. So you can't know what God wants you to know. So now, here's the thing. They make running changes without notice. They never ever announce the fact that they changed that verse. In 1982, when the new King James first came out, it had that verse correct. What are these wounds in thine hands? When it first came out, it was correct. But somewhere around 1994 is what I've heard. I don't know for sure because I don't have all the revisions of the New King James, thank God. I've got two. But here's the thing. Whenever they changed that, they didn't make an announcement that they were changing it. See? So they're making these changes. And then they say, "We've never revised our Bible." Liars. Liars. It's as simple as that. They're lying. Who's the father of lies? I mean, let's think about that. So here's the thing. Now, they made all these running changes. Then they had this symbol. Has everybody seen that symbol on the New King James? Just about everybody has seen that thing. And I've got one with it. Mickey, I don't know if you can get that or not. If you can see that, let me hide behind it. Can you see that at all? I hope that symbol's clear. Everybody can see that. Anybody's ever heard of witchcraft, you can find that symbol. That is a witchcraft symbol. It is not a symbol of the Trinity. God said not to make an image of him or anything to resemble him. So why would you put that on there and say that's a symbol of the Trinity? It's not. Do you know Led Zeppelin? Everybody in here that's old as I am knows who Led Zeppelin is. They had that same symbol on one of their albums. It's a satanic symbol. There's a TV show that I could not tell you one thing about, thank you, Lord. It's called Charmed. And they got that symbol on their TV show. It's a show about witches. There's a book called The Book of Shadows, A Witch's Guide. That symbol is on the cover. Why do you think they put that on your Bible? That's pretty messed up. That is pretty messed up. Now, we're getting way in here good. I'm getting a lot covered now, finally, thankfully. So let's look at some things that the New King James is bad with, real bad. So it's going to be fast. We've got a lot of Bible verses here to cover. So let's cover them fast as we can. Now, I'll tell you something else. Every one of these verses I'm going to cover right now, the New King James reads exactly like the New World Translation. New World is Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay? Every one of these verses we're going to read is exactly the same as the New World. Anybody want to check that? I got them both up here. You can check them on your own. Clear about this or transparent. It's here, okay? I've heard people make statements that they couldn't back up. In the Bible version issue, I've heard people make statements they couldn't back up. I won't do that. I did my research. I did my study. I looked at every one of these verses in here. I looked at every one of these verses in the New King James. I'm telling you, you can look and find these. They're all there, every one of them. So in Matthew 20:20, we got this in the King James Bible. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. So what does the New King James say? Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. Folks, kneeling down and asking a question ain't worship. I know this. Y'all can get this. When I asked my wife to marry me, I got down on one knee. And I asked her to marry me. I didn't worship her. Sister Rose sitting up here on the front row, if I wanted to go over and talk to her and get close to her, I could kneel down on one knee and talk to her face to face and ask her a question. It's not worship. It's not the same thing. Just because she knelt down doesn't mean she's done anything as far as worship goes. Why did they take that out? Do they not think he's worthy of worship? New World Translation, just like that. Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't think Jesus is worthy to be worshipped. He's the brother of Satan, according to them. So, garbage. Throw that out. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 3. And I marked both of these as I went. Acts chapter 3, verse 26. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you away from his iniquities. Now in this one here, to you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you. Jesus is not God's servant. He is God. See, Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation. You can't take son and make it a servant. There's a couple of places. Now, I'm going to stop right there. I shouldn't go on and even say that. 4:27, Acts chapter 4, verse 27. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. 4:27. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles were gathered together. They're making him a servant, taking away the Son of God and making him a servant. That's not what he is. That's not who he is. One more in 4:30. Same thing over and over and over. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Listen, a lot of God's servants can't do anything to heal you, but his son can. His son can. And he is the Son of God. We need to understand, Son of God. See, he's only the Son of God in time. He's God manifest in flesh in time. He's God Almighty throughout eternity. He's always been. There's never been a time that he didn't exist. You can't take him and make him a servant in this. It can't be done. It's not supposed to be done anyway. Let's put it that way. Look at Romans. Romans chapter 1. Now, this is kind of telling to me the way they do this. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 18, it says this: "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, you almost have to guarantee they change that, because they hold the truth. I mean, they had the same manuscripts. You know what they do over and over and over in this thing, in this New King James, in the foreword of this thing? They talk about the majesty of the King James Version, the splendid language of the King. They build that thing up. I bet you there's 40 times in the foreword of that thing it says King James Version, King James Version, King James Version. The reason they called it the New King James Version was to be compared to the King James, to use the name recognition to get sales. See, I'm going to tell you something. An old wise man I heard one time said, if it don't make sense, there's a buck in it. Think about that. What was the reason, if they think the King James Version was so majestic and marvelous and wonderful, the way they talk, what was the reason to update it? If it's perfect, why do you put your nasty hands in it? Because you can't do anything but mess it up. See, that's the problem. There's money involved. Do you know that the New King James, just like the NIV and the New World and every other version on the market, other than the King James, has a copyright? If you write a book and you quote the New King James over like 12 times, you've got to send them money off your book. If you got a printing press and went to print King James Bibles in your basement this week, you don't have to do anything. It has what's called a crown copyright. The crown copyright means copy it right. If you're going to call it a King James Bible, make it a King James Bible. That's the only copyright it has. Anybody can use that and sell it, do whatever they want to do with it. But not this bunch, because if it don't make sense, there's a buck in it. So these people say, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth." See? Even though they tried to change that to get away from being hit right between the eyes with it, they still hit themselves right between the eyes with it, because they're suppressing the truth. But they also hold the truth in unrighteousness. So then, right there in the same chapter, just a few verses down here, it says what? Listen, verse 25. Where am I at? 125. There we go. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Then in this one here says, "Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie," for the lie. Not a lie, but the lie, which is this book as far as I'm concerned. This is the lie. It's bad. I mean, it's bad. There's nothing good about this thing. And really, there's nothing new about this thing either, if you want to get real technical, because the devil himself has been perverting the word of God since the beginning of time. The first thing he did was make God a liar when he talked to Eve. When man himself fell, the reason for it was the devil went and lied to him. He started out with a partial truth, just like the New King James got. And then he told a blatant lie, just like the New King James does. It's the same bunch. It's the same crowd. They've been around a long time. Long time. So, let's go where we're going to go now. Anybody know? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1:18. I've got every track I had in my house marking these Bibles. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Did I write that wrong? You know what? I think I did. Oh, I know what the problem is. I'm in 2 Corinthians. That didn't help me much, did it? All right. We'll get there in a minute. Okay, here we go. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, that cross, if not for that cross, we'd all be lost, wouldn't we? It's the power of God that saved us, that cross that he died on. His blood saved us. It wasn't the cross, but it's the power of that, the power of that preaching. Listen to what this says. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Is anybody in here being saved? Listen, I'm saved. I'm saved. You couldn't shove me into hell with a shoving machine. It's impossible for me to go to hell. I'm saved. Now, if you're being saved, you could probably go. I mean, look, it's serious. You could probably go. Now, these are changes. Every one of these, new world. Think about that doctrine of the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're working their way to heaven, right? They gotta do enough works to get there. This is all sounding pretty works filled to me. Every bit of this has all been changed. It's all this. I think most of this is where they ignored the Greek text. That you'd have to. Because it's not, it doesn't fit right. So look at 2 Corinthians 2. And here's another place where they had to change it. They absolutely didn't have any choice. They had to change it. I know what I did. I didn't mark that last reference. 2 Corinthians 2:17. Here the King James says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." Well, wonder what they said. For we are not as so many peddling the word of God. Do you know what they do? When they try to change that thing, they hit themselves right between the eyes every time, looks like to me. Because what are they doing? They're peddling the word of God. They're selling it. They're changing it to suit themselves, and then they're putting a copyright on it, and they're selling it. That's what they're doing. And every time they try to change something, every time they try to hide something, it hits them right smack between the eyes. Every stinking time. And that, to me, that's an amazing thing to me. I see God's hand in that so clear, and it makes me smile every time I think about it. One of these days, you know they're going to stand before God one day. And do you know, I'm going to tell you something. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think for one minute God's going to rebuke me for believing his word was perfect. I don't believe that. I don't think he's going to say, "Well, now you shouldn't have never believed that 2 Corinthians 2:17. You should have believed that in the New King James, little buddy." I don't believe that. If I believed that, I'd throw my Bible away. I would. If God's going to judge us by a standard, don't you think it would behoove him to give us that standard? I mean, is God righteous? Is he just and good? Then he would give us the standard he's going to judge us by. You wouldn't have to search for it in 57 different versions. You know, they come out with one about every 6 months. They've got so many crazy, goofy Bibles out there you would not even believe. And I don't think we're going to get into this, but I'm going to try. But let's hit a couple more real quick here, and we'll get out of this. Now, I'm just going to hit this one real fast. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. The Bible says to abstain from all appearance of evil. The New King James, abstain, or stay away. Well, I better go ahead and get it. Let's see here. I don't even know if I marked it. Nope, I didn't even mark it. Nope, I didn't even mark that one. We'll leave that one alone. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians 2. The Bible says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth." This thing says, set your mind on things above, not on things in the earth. Do you know your mind and your affections are not the same thing? Your affections are part of your mind, but your mind is not your affections. Listen, there's some things I've got on my mind right now that I have no affection for. I mean, I'll be honest with you, the way my body feels right now after what I had to do yesterday, I have no affection for my body right now. That thing hurts. I'm a sore from the top of my head to the bottom of my shoes. I had to work, actually do something yesterday besides sit and drive a truck. It almost killed me. And they say, good day's work won't hurt you. That ain't true. All right. Study. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you know how many times the Bible tells you to study in the New Testament? One. One time. Do you think they would remove that from their Bible? Oh, probably. Be diligent to present yourself to prove to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be diligent. Just do your best. Just do the best you can. That sounds like Joel Holstein, doesn't it? Just do the best you can. Listen, it's crazy. Now look, I got one more here. I want to look at this one, and then we'll go away from this for a few minutes. Look at Hebrews 2:16. This is crazy. If you got a Bible, please turn to it. Hebrews 2:16. Because you really need to see this. This is a complete head scratcher, I guess you would call it. Huh? What happened right there? Here it says, in your Bible, it says, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. So what does that say to anybody? He became flesh and not an angel, right? He was born in a body. Well, now here's what this thing says. This thing is so cockeyed in so many ways. It says this, for indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. It's not even close. I mean, there's no comparison to the two. You can't get that. It doesn't happen. So I'm gonna run through a few more verses here. So you know their pitch. Y'all know what a pitch man is, right? You know, they got them at the carnivals, you know, trying to get you over there to spend your money on the games and all that kind of stuff. It's a pitch man Bible. That's what it is. They're advertising to sell you something that you don't need. That's the same thing the TV does to you every day. It advertises to sell you stuff you have no need of. But this thing right here, if they say, their advertising slogan is, it's easier to read. We took out the these and the thous. It's so much easier to understand. If it's easier to read, wouldn't it be easier to understand? I mean, isn't that a logical progression to that thought process? If it's easier to read, it should be easier to understand. So let's, with that thought in mind, in Genesis 18:1, the Bible says, uses the word plains. Plains. The New King James, terebinth trees. That's a little different. Plains, you know, like out in Kansas and, you know, the Midwest out there, all the plains states, they call them here. We understand plains, right? Abraham dwelt in the plains. Well, Abraham dwelt in the terebinth trees. I wonder if they believe in evolution. You ever think about that? In Genesis 21:33, Abraham planted a grove. In the New King James, he planted a tamarisk tree. They got a problem with trees, by the way. You'll see that in a minute, but they got a problem with trees than this bunch does. I don't understand where they're coming out with all these trees. Genesis 35:4, the King James Bible used the word oak. We know what an oak tree is, don't we? Most people could recognize an oak tree pretty easy. Well, they think it's a terebinth tree. Now, Abraham dwelt in the plains, which is terebinth trees. An oak is a terebinth tree. A grove is a tamarisk tree. So far, we're doing all right? Now, in Leviticus 4, in verse 11, we're talking about burning the sacrifice outside the camp. You know, take it to a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and you take the bullock, and you burn his head and his legs and his entrails and his dung. The word dung is used in the King James Bible. Well, I know this word's going to be a lot easier for everybody. It's offal. O-F-F-A-L. Burn his offal. Now, you know what I did? I got real curious and looked up the word. Well, actually, my wife looked up the word offal in the Bible, in the Webster's dictionary. She looked up the word offal. You know what it means? It means entrails. It doesn't mean dung. Now, there's a word they use in the world that they could have put there for dung, you know, which could have, I mean, hey, the Living Bible, so-called, excuse me, the Living Bible uses the word S-O-B. Sure does. Saul called his son Jonathan one in the Living Bible. So why didn't they update it that way? I mean, I'm glad they didn't really. But it would make sense in the track that they're heading down. It would make sense that eventually there's going to be a vulgar language Bible. I mean, there will be eventually, if there's not now. Here's a good one. Deuteronomy 14:7, talking about things you can and cannot eat. A coney. Anybody know what coney is? Donnie, you raise them. Rabbits. It's technically a coney is a big rabbit that lives in the rocks. So you know what they call it in the New King James? It's a rock hyrax. That's way better than coney, don't you think? Everybody's heard of a rock hyrax, hadn't you? We've all got one. Well, you've got some. Now in Judges 8:13, I like this one. Gideon returned from the battle before the sun was up. According to the New King James, he returned from battle by the ascent of Heres. That helps, doesn't it? It was either the sun was up or the ascent of Heres. What is the ascent of Heres? Does anybody got any idea? I have no clue. Honestly, I have no clue. It's a weird kind of a thing. In 1 Samuel 22:6, King James uses the word tree. New King James, tamarisk tree. 2 Samuel 6:5, the word cornet. Anybody play a trumpet or any of that kind of stuff? You know what a cornet is. It's a smaller trumpet, basically. They said it was sistrums. Not your brother, but your sistrum. Does your sistrum play a cornet? So, you know what a sistrum is? And most people have seen one and they don't know what it is. I didn't know what it was. Again, my wife looked all this stuff up. We were talking about this last night, and she looked all this stuff up. A sistrum is one of those instruments. It's a big piece of wood with a thing on the top and some things that rattle. And they rub it in their hands like this, and it swings back and forth, and those rattles rattle. That is not a cornet. It's completely different. Now, this one's good. In 1 Kings 10:2, the word train is used. All you women know what a train is. If you got married in a long wedding dress, the train drug behind. Okay? That's your train. His train filled the temple, the Bible says. In New King James, retinue. I mean, I knew what that word meant the first time I read it because I've got a head full of useless knowledge, and I knew what that word meant, and I don't know why I knew what it meant, but I knew what it meant. But how many people in here, if I asked you, have you got a good retinue on your dress, would you know what I was talking about? See, they're crazy. We might get a minute or two of this stuff in. All right. I want to get to Hosea 4:13. The word is elms, E-L-M-S, elms. Care to guess? Terebinths. Terebinths. They got a problem with trees. I really believe they got a problem with trees. Do you know what I think? The Lord talked about them bowing down to the stock of a tree. You know, they carve it up and make themselves a god out of it, and then they burn the rest in the fire to keep warm. And he's kind of like saying, do you see how stupid you look? I think that may be their problem. Two more, and I'm going to quit this, and I'm going to read a couple of things out of these new funny books over here, and we can go. Isaiah 34:14. The King James Bible uses the words screech owl. Everybody got that? Screech owl. Everybody probably has heard one from time to time living around here where we do. You know what the New King James says? Night creature. Ooh. And that's, I mean, why would you put night creature for screech owl? Who knows? Who knows? I can't. Last one, Titus 1:6. In Titus 1, we're talking about children, right? Let's go back over here. Turn to it real quick. We'll get to it. It won't take just a minute to turn to that. Titus 1:6. Talking about the qualifications of a bishop. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Anybody have a hard problem with that? Is that hard to understand? I get it. Hey, listen, I've seen kids who were accused of riot and unruly. I heard one guy make the comparison to an unruly child being a kid in the buggy going down the aisle at the grocery store with octopus arms. He could reach both sides of the aisle and dragging stuff off the shelves. Unruly. Have you seen kids? Has anybody in here seen a kid in Walmart they wanted to whip for the parent? That's riot and unruly. Now, you know what the New King James says? Dissipation and insubordination. I'm going to tell you something. Dissipation, that's what I had last night when I got done working on that shed I was building. I was dissipated. I couldn't take no more. So I don't think that's right. I don't think that word even fits there. Now, I'm not the smartest guy to ever live, but I just don't believe that word fits there. Now, you know what they'll tell you? They'll tell you that if you had a 1611 King James Bible in your hands, you couldn't read it. Because it doesn't even read like our Bible does. It's been changed so much. And the words, listen, I've got one right here. This is a 1611 exact replica of the 1611 that was first time it was ever printed. Anybody in here can read this Bible. Normally, when I go out to different churches and I do these classes, I'll take this thing with me and I'll call a 10-year-old boy up or a 10-year-old girl. Girls are usually smarter, Ronnie. They can usually read better. I'll call a 10-year-old boy or girl up and I'll hand them that and I won't say a word to them. I'll say, just open that and read something. And they'll open it and they'll just start reading just like they're reading a regular Bible, because this is a regular Bible. It's got a few word spellings that are different. You might find the word foot spelled with an E on the end of it, but it's still foot. You know, beef will be spelled with an E on the end of it, still beef. You know, it's still a perfect Bible, and anybody here can read this thing. Now, we're almost done. We got just about enough time to cover this right here. Everybody likes these. A friend of mine named Mike Earle gave me these. Well, he gave me this one, and I bought the other one because I just had to have to see what they did with the New Testament. But this is called the Black Bible Chronicles, okay? And this was marketed to black folks by, well, Andrew Young, the former mayor of Atlanta, wrote the foreword for it. And he says that this thing was put together to reach a group of people whom the traditional language of faith had lost the power to bring them in touch with their God. In other words, the King James Bible no longer has power to get black folks in touch with their God. That's what he says. Now listen to this. This is funny to me, but it's terribly serious too at the same time. Now the Almighty, he made a garden on the east side of Eden, and the brother's crib was there and all. And the plants and trees that were good to look at grew. The tree of life grew too, right in the heart of the garden. This was the tree between bad and good. A river from Eden went around watering down the garden, and then it divvied up into four parts. The Almighty made the brother get down with his gig and take care of the garden. And the brother was told he could munch on every tree in the garden, but be cool around the tree of knowledge. Knowledge. Because please don't eat from it or you'll die. The Almighty felt it wasn't cool for the brother to be by himself. I'll make him someone to keep time with, God said. So he started forming every kind of animal out of the ground and brought them around to Adam, that was the brother's name, to see what he'd name them. And the brother was down with some great names for the animals, but he was still lonely. So the Almighty put the brother deep in a coma and took out a rib and sealed the place up again. And from the rib, he created a sister and brought her down to the brother. Right on, said Adam. This is my woman, because she's part of me, the man. And that's why she's called woman, because she was made from the rib of a man. And this is also why when a brother and sister get together, he leaves his mother and father and belongs to her. The brother and sister weren't hipped to the fact that they didn't have on no clothes neither, so this didn't faze them. That's the Bible. That is a serious attempt at a Bible. Listen to the New Testament in this. I'm going to run over this real quick. Of course, this is the prodigal son. This is one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible that they messed up. Of course, there's the story about the sons, one who was faithful and the other a hard-headed soul who had to learn his lesson the hard way. It went something like this. Yeah, something like this. The youngest boy wanted his inheritance kind of early since he felt he was all of that. Daddy was cool, giving all the little brother asked for, and the brother took off to the big city. Sure enough, the city was too much for him, and it wasn't long that brother Long Pockets was short on cash, and all his so-called friends turned their backs because he had nothing. Not one brother would offer him a dime. The brother thought about his dad and how rich he was, and he said to himself, I'm a fool and don't deserve nothing from my old man. I'll just beg him for a job because I ain't fit to call myself his son. And so he went to his dad's house to ask for a job. Daddy, he said slowly and head bowed, I'm so sorry. I ain't fit to tie your shoes, but if you'll be kind enough to just give me the worst job you got, I'll be grateful. His dad was overjoyed. His son had come home. It was more than he could ask for. He said, not my son, he said, while at the same time motioning for his employees to bring the best for his son. Fatten the boy up. Put some decent clothes on him, his father said. And the old man rejoiced up a storm because his son had returned home. He was a lost brother, but now he's found. Let's party because my boy has come home. Everybody was happy because the little brother had come home. Everybody, that is, except his big brother, who felt that things had changed. After he found out what was going down with the big party and all, he went to his dad. Dad, what's up? You ain't never thrown a party for me like this. I haven't given you a moment's trouble. What gives? But Daddy was patient. My son, you were always with me. That's good. But your brother here was all but dead, and now he's found. Come on, be glad. That don't even sound right to me. I really feel bad about having some of this stuff up here on this pulpit, to be honest with you. So that's what we got today. I hope that something helped you with the New King James. That's what we need. We need to be able to help other folks to see the truth about what's in these new versions. Because so many people use them. I guarantee you there's not one person in this building that doesn't know somebody that uses one. You got somebody you know that uses a New King James or a NIV or some kind of junky Bible. Everybody does. We all do. So please be careful how you deal with people, because the first thing they come out with when you talk to them about a new version of the Bible is, you think I'm stupid. No, I don't think they're stupid at all. I really don't. And the problem is I've had mine. I've still got my old NIV. I use it against itself now. But a man that loved me, my old pastor who loved me, I believe with all my heart the man loved me. He gave me that thing thinking he was doing me a favor. See? And the people are so deceived. They are so deceived by this stuff. Let's don't be deceived. Let's try to help everybody else. Let's pray. Father, God, we thank you so much for the time that you've given us here today. Thank you for the opportunity to stand and proclaim the truth from your word, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we go forth to try to understand the differences and try to help other people that we come in contact with, Lord. I keep thinking about what you said, speaking the truth in love. Lord, we need to be so careful what we say. I ask you, God, to help us. Be with us now as we go into the service. Give us everything that we need, Lord. Encourage us, rebuke us, whatever it is we need. God, you know our hearts, and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.